Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. Let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you His holy and exalted in great words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For the Most High ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to bring to you once again his great, holy, and exalted words. This evening we're going to discuss, or we're going to answer the many questions that our people have. You can send them in now, and we will get them, write them down, analyze them, and then we will bring to you the answers. I don't know what programs out there that would allow you to question them on the spot, but we do. Live. And why? As I told you before, Yah ordained us to tell you the truth. So this is exactly what we're going to do. And before I get the questions, the concerns, and the issues of our people, let me bring to you a couple things first to spark your interest. As we are closing out our 7th month and going into another month, the 8th month, there are certain things we want to continue to be reflecting on. It is true that the year has ended. But even though the year has ended, that don't mean another year has begun. The Almighty often tells us the ending from the beginning. And this is something that our people have to learn. So when a day ends, it's not beginning a new day. When a day ends, it's just night. When a year ends, it's just the winter. And once our people begin to just trust and trust in Yah only, then they will begin to know the ending from the beginning. It's just like the end of the week. When the week ends, it don't begin another week until it goes through the night. Then another week begins. The Almighty always give us time. He give us space. He give us room. He give us an opportunity to prepare ourselves for the next thing that he will have us to do, and the next thing he will have us to know. And we're going into the 8th month. And a lot of our people don't know about the various months. They just believe it's just another month. But they don't know how relevant each month is, how relevant each day is, and how relevant each year is. And as we go through the various days and the various months and the various years and the various generations, if you pay close attention to them, it will teach you something very vital. For example, if you look in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter. We're going to Genesis, the fifth chapter. And I just want to show you an example of what I mean. And again, send in your questions, and we will try to answer all your questions through the word of Yah. In Genesis, the fifth chapter, there were 12 generations after Adam that the Creator wanted us to know about, that the Creator would divide the various unto. How do we know this? Not just from Genesis 5, but watch what the Creator lets us know in the book of Deuteronomy. Hold your page of Deuteronomy 5. Because I want you to be able to see how we back everything up. And watch what this says in the book of Deuteronomy 32 and 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the year of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. This is all the nations. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And when and where was this done? Well, in Genesis, the fifth chapter. How many tribes is it? 12. He's not only divided the nations according to the 12 tribes of Israel, but the Creator divided the years or the months according to, or each year according to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's how we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's only 12 months, because he did this according to the number of the children of Israel. And you'll find this in the book of First Chronicles, the 27th chapter. But what I want you to do, excuse me, is pay close attention into the eighth generation. The first generation after Adam was a man named Seth. Cain was banished. Abel was killed, murdered. So Seth became generation one. Generation two was Enos, his son. His son in generation three was Canaan. His son in the fourth generation was Mahalaleel, which means praise Elohim. The fifth generation is Yared. The sixth generation was a very blessed man who walked with Elohim, and he was not, and for Elohim took him. That's the sixth generation's name is Enoch. And then he had a son, which was the seventh generation, what the Almighty called blessed, sanctified, set apart. His name was Methuselah, and he was the oldest living man in the scriptures. He lived 969 years. In the eighth generation, since we're going into the eighth month, was a man named Lamech. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah. And Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which Yahweh had cursed. You notice it didn't say because of Adam and Eve, which Yahweh have cursed, because he never cursed Adam and Eve or Hawa. But as a result of what Adam did, Yahweh cursed the ground for his sake. And as a result of what she did, Yahweh cursed, or didn't curse, but he just multiplied. She was already having sorrow. She was already having pain in childbirth. All Yahweh did was multiply the pain and sorrow that she was already having. But here, during the time of Lamech, because of the ground which Yahweh had cursed. So in this eighth generation, here Yahweh will bless Lamech with a son that was a sign to bring comfort to the toil of the hands of man in which they was working. And this is very good. This is real important, because as you can see, during this eighth generation from Lamech, a man named Noah was born. Of course, Noah became the ninth generation. But as a result of his birth, the ground, the earth, began to yield its increase. As before, the earth was in bad shape because of man. And you notice that it was Noah who Yahweh will repopulate the earth with, him and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So this has great significance, being that it was the eighth generation that Yahweh would do this with. So ask yourself, what do you think the eighth generation represent in the scriptures, or the eighth period, since Yahweh would do this? In the eighth generation, during the life of a man named Lamech. I want you to consider that. I want you to think about that. And I'll show you a few more scriptures on the eighth to see if you can ascertain what it represents. We know it's the order of one, but what do the eighth by itself represents? Yes, any questions?
So, question is, what determines a new month? When does a new month start?
Hallelujah, praise God. Thank you for the question. The question is, what determines a new month? And when do a new month begin? Of course, we get this question frequently. I don't know if this is a person who's listened to us before or not. And I don't need to know whether they listen to us or not. A month in the scriptures is simply 30 days. That's what a month is. Nothing more and nothing less. And I want you to pay close attention to me so that you can understand the answer to your question. The first thing you must understand is, what is a month? And watch this. I want you to see this. In the book of Numbers, the third chapter. I want you to turn there first. And then I'm going to show you, when do a month begin? Well, first I want you to see, what is a month? Now, many Israelites teach a month is a moon, and a moon is a month. And I'll show you that that is not the truth. A moon is not a month, nor is a month a moon. A month indicates a certain time, certain number of days. And watch this. Watch what it says. In the book of Numbers, the third chapter. And let's see if I'm telling you the truth. And this is what it says in the 40th verse. Numbers 3 and 40. This is just an example of what a month is. And this is all through the scriptures. It says in Numbers 3 and 40. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. So this is a law. And it says we are to take all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old. Now, how do one determine a month old? Do they determine a month old by looking at the moon? As a matter of fact, the person who asked me the question, and I don't know who they are, but ask yourself, did your parents look at the moon to determine whether you was a month old or not? As a matter of fact, if you have children, did you look at the moon to determine whether your children were a month old or not? And as a matter of fact, do you know anybody that exists that looked at the moon to determine whether their child was a month old or not? And then after looking at the moon, and they looked at their children, and then they counted, how many days did they count? Since you go by the moon, not since you go by the moon. So a month old is a certain number of days that a month is. And Yahweh let us know how many days that is. Now, how did he let us know? He let us know this because this is a law in Numbers 3 and 40. A month old. So if we're talking about a month, the only way you can determine a month old by determining what a month is, they go hand in hand. So I'm taking you from the beginning. Now let's see what a month old, because now we're going to deal with another law concerning a month. The scripture teaches precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. and watch what it is. Watch what this says. In the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy. And the question again is, when do a month begin? And the first thing that I'm doing is showing you what a month is first. And then you can understand when a month begins. In the book of Deuteronomy 21, and this is what it says. 10th verse. There's still a law on a month. Everything I'm showing is concerning a month. 10th verse. When thou hast fought the war against thy enemies, and Yahweh thy Elohim have delivered them into thy hands, and thou hast taken them captive, and seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and has a desire unto her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head, pare her nails, and she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and she shall remain in thy house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that, thou shalt go in unto her, be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. So what is this letting us know? Well, the first scripture that I showed you let us know that we had to know what a month is, because our firstborn, we had to number them from a month old. Another law. And this law is no different from that law. It says when we take a captive woman and we have a desire for her to be our wife, and she's captive because undoubtedly we destroyed their nation, their people, their land, and we took the various virgins of that particular town or city. And if this was the case, we allowed her to mourn her father and her mother a full month. Now, surely we will have to know what a full month is. The number, how many days would that be? How many days would it be if we were to number our firstborn from a month old? When do we start that count? When will they be a month old? But to answer both of these questions or these scriptures, if you want to know how many days, it lets you know in various scriptures, but I'm just going to show one. And it's in Deuteronomy 34. And all the scriptures that I've seen, every last single one of them, and there's not one scripture that will contradict this scripture. Not one. And if anyone in our listening audience know one scripture, all they got to do is put it on the board. I'll read it for the people. To show that I'm wrong. And watch what it says. Deuteronomy 34 and 7. It says, and Moshe was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. In other words, when Moses died, when Aaron died, when our people died, even the captive parents, captive woman parents died. We mourned them a full month. And if you want to know what a full month is, if we mourned the captive woman parents a full month, we mourned Moses for 30 days, is only because that's the law of mourning. It's not only the law of mourning, but this is what a month is. A month is a certain number of days, and these days are 30 throughout the scriptures. There is no scriptures that will indicate to us that there's a certain number of days outside of 30. It's never 31 in the scriptures, never 32 in the scriptures, never 29 in the scriptures. The only time you're going to get 29 days a month in the scriptures is from other books, but not from the Holy Scriptures. Ask your teachers this and see if they'll tell you the truth. You'll never, ever get 31 days in a month like it was state in the book of Jubilees. No, Yahweh don't speak in the book of Jubilees, nor do he speak in the book of Jasher, where they get all these diverse measurements. The only month that you have is in the scriptures, and it's 30 days. Now, when do each month begin? It don't begin when you look up at the sky and you determine when it begins. This last month, this 7th month, we have various Israelites all looking up in the sky, and they all determined collectively together by looking up at the same moon that the 7th month began on a different day. Now, how can we all look at the same thing and still come out with a different measurement? First of all, Yahweh never left it up to our people to determine when his holy days is. Well, Yahweh is not going to allow you to trust man. So when do a month begin? A month begin, and how a month begin, and when a month begin is only determined by the Most High. And the Most High let us know when a month began in the scriptures. And you'll find out when it began in the book of Genesis, the 1st chapter. And let us turn there. And this is something that our people don't want to consider. And that's okay. That's up to them. Yahweh said our people don't want to consider. So I'm not about to sit here and contradict what Yahweh said and say, yeah, our people consider. No, they don't. Look what it says in the book of Genesis, the 1st chapter, the 14th verse. And now people say they know this by heart. But then when we start discussing this thing, then they don't know this as well as they think they do. The question is, when do a month begin? It began right here on the 4th day. That's when the very first month, the very first year, the very first season, all began on the 4th day. Let me repeat that again, because then you got some people, well, he never answered the question. Let me answer it again. On the 4th day of creation, the very 4th day, Yahweh set in order 12 months. It began on the 4th day. Not only was this the first month, it was the first year, it was the first seasons, and the various days of the first season, the days of the first year, and the days of the very first month. And from this day, you have all your months, all your years, and all your seasons. And they all came to repeat one another. So, for example, let's read it. Genesis 1 and 14. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and years. And so what our people did, they said, okay, it's lights in the heaven. So we have to interpret these lights. And we have to interpret and let the people know what they mean, when they mean, how to, no, Yahweh interprets things, not us. Yahweh revealed the interpretation to us. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to get light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Elohim set them in the firmament of heaven to get light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And there was evening and the morning were the fourth day. So when Yahweh set forth his years, it all started on the fourth day. When Yahweh set forth his months, it all began on the fourth day. Everything. And so as a result of doing it on the fourth day, setting forth the meaning, because you got to have a day where the very first month gonna start. So now this might make a little sense to you when you read it. In the book of Exodus 12, the first two verses, watch what it says. If Yahweh wanted you to look up in the sky and interpret this for him, then he wouldn't have never made the moon at night or for the night. And I'm going to show you why. But watch what this says. In the book of Exodus 12, the first two verses, and Yahweh spake unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, watch what this says. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. In other words, this is going to be the beginning of months. It's the beginning of months on the fourth day. There are no months before the fourth day. That's when Yahweh set forth his months. And then when the second month come, 30 days after the very first month. When did the third month come? 30 days after that. When did the fourth month come? 30 days after the third month. That's when it came. This is how you count your months. Every 30 days. Not 29 days this month, and 30 days the next month, and 28 days the next month, and 31 days the next month. Now, that's not how you count your months. Nor do you count your months 29, 30, 29, 30, 29. You don't count your months like that either. The only number that Yahweh gives for months is 30 days. That's it. And when did those 30 days come into existence? When did it become a reality? And when did they begin to number them? And that was on the fourth day of creation. This started before man. So man can't come back and determine and let you know when a month is. This started before him. Yahweh set this in motion before man. And what man has to do is go by Yahweh and not by his own eyes. Watch what Yahweh said in the book of, and then I'll take the next question. Watch what Yahweh say in the book of Numbers again, 15th chapter. I want you to see this. Again, so the person will know that I answered their question. They asked, when do the beginning of a month? Well, you're not going to know the beginning of no month if you don't know the beginning of all months. The Almighty said, This is the beginning of months. It's the first month of the year unto you. So if you don't know the beginning of all the months, then you won't know what no month is. If you don't know the beginning of all years, then you won't know your years. Our people don't know their years. There's only seven different years according to the scriptures. If you ask them what year we're in, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to say we're in the second year or the third year or the fourth or the fifth because they don't even know when the first year is. And just like the months, if you don't know the beginning of months, then how could you then tell me we're in the third or the fourth or the fifth? Where you get that at? Where you counting that from? Where's that at? Because you don't even know the beginning of months. And you just throwing out months. What you going by? And I'm letting you know what our people going by is not scripture. Now watch this. Numbers 15. The 37th verse. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe saying, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations. This is what we're supposed to do. And that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, look upon your fringe, and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a horn. And that's what our people are doing today. That's why you can have all these various groups all looking at the same thing, all looking at the moon to determine the beginning of the month. That's in the beginning of the month. But then as soon as the month start according to the crescent that our people looking at, they still are starting the month on different days. And why? Because Yahweh had already told our people, don't go a horn after your own eyes. Who are we supposed to trust? The people who seen it in New York or Philadelphia or the people in Jerusalem that don't even know Yahweh, people call Kairites, that many of our people go by? Who are we supposed to go by? Well, I say we go by Yahweh. Second question.
Praise God. This is a two-part question. This question asks about Ezekiel 37. Will this be a way that Yah will revive us according to Hosea 6 and 2? And the second question, will we be revived the third day as it states in Hosea 6 2? Because Yah came down and met us on the third day in Exodus 19th chapter.
Very good question. And I know this person is a very informed person who I don't know who they are. See, I don't know the various individuals that's asking me questions. I don't know their names. I don't know who they listen to. I don't know who they are. But I know when they ask me certain questions, I know essentially who they're learning from. I've been around a long time, 30 years plus. So I know the various teachers who you learn from. And so I know the person that's asking this particular question, they have great insight on certain things just by their question. And the question was, in Ezekiel 37, it discusses and talks about the bones being revived. And we'll just read a couple of verses in the book of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And they asking, is this valley of the dry bones, is this a spiritual awakening as it speaks of in Hosea, the sixth chapter? And only people who know anything about Hosea, the sixth chapter, and Ezekiel, the 37, and their relationship with one another, somebody got insight. I know that. Answer to the question is absolutely yes. Yes, this is exactly what the Valley of the Dry Bones is speaking about. A spiritual awakening. In Hosea, the sixth chapter, in which we will read, is the physical manifestation of that happening. In other words, not just the physical manifestation of it, but Hosea, the sixth chapter, is speaking of when it would actually happen. But in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the very first verse, watch what this says, and you're going to understand exactly the relationship between the two scriptures. It says, "The hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yah, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Now, this is a vision that the prophet Ezekiel seen, but this vision was way far off. Way far off. So, and a lot of times when they seen these visions, they didn't even understand these visions. Daniel said, "Give me understanding of this vision. I'm astonished. I don't even know what this means." And Yahweh told Daniel, like, "Look, this is not for your time. This is for time to come." So it wasn't even meant for his time, because it wasn't going to happen during his time. But watch what this says. "And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." And watch what it says. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can he live?" Answered, "O Yah Elohim, thou knowest." In other words, he wasn't like our people and try to guess whether they can live or not. He just humbled himself and said, "Look, you're the one who know whether they can live. I don't know. But I know you know." "Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live." In other words, this is all about living. And if you had an opportunity to hear me on a Sabbath day, I talked about seven different lives, stages of life that you can have. The first stage is when Yahweh said he breathed into us the breath of life. And that's how we became a living soul. But just because you became a living soul, that don't mean you really still alive. You are alive, because that's life in of itself. And to show you that there was a different type of life than just that breath coming into your nostrils, in the third chapter of Genesis, the Almighty said he put Adam in a garden amongst many trees. And in that garden, he said he had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then he had another tree, and it was called the tree of life. Now, what is this tree of life? Adam already had life. He already had breath. But in addition to his breath, there was another life that he could have achieved. And all he had to do was eat from that tree. That was called the tree of life. He did not. He chose another tree, and as a result of that, he was banish from eating from that tree of life. Then Yahweh will give us another life, just showing you the different stages of life. And that was his word. And he said, this life, he said, this world is not just our wisdom and our understanding. He said, it is our life and the length of our days. Everybody don't have that. Matter of fact, the mass majority of the world don't have Yahweh's word. All they have is the breath of life. They don't have the tree of life, nor do they have his word, which is life. And those are just an example of the various lives that you can have. And you can go back and listen to our class on the Sabbath day to get the rest. So, yes, Yahweh will breathe upon us again. And this is what it says in the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. And what do the tree of life give you? What do his word give you? Well, it not just gives you life. It gives you the type of life that includes the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that one need to live. What sense of just having life and you really don't know how to live? And watch what it says in the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. Then we get the next question. This is what it says. First verse. Come, and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn, and he will heal us. That's why I say people get mad, frustrated about a lot of torn things. And why? Because the same one that has torn, he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. And in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. In other words, we are already living, but the type of living that Yahweh desires us to have is a revival. And what is this revival? This revival is like when a person dies and you have to shock them, put them probes on them and shock them back to get their, to revive them, to get their heart back and then bring them back to life. Yahweh's saying this is what he has to do to us. He has to revive us. And why? Because we've been asleep. We don't even know who we are. We have been stripped from our ancestry, our ancestral knowledge, not only who we are, who our king is, who our land is, our language, or anything that denotes us as a people. We have none of these things. And so Yahweh have to revive us so that we will know. And this is what this revival is all about the true knowledge of who we are and who he is. And I'm not just talking about just knowing you, Israel. You don't know your tribal ancestry. You don't know the laws of the Most High. You don't know, you've been stripped. You don't know your king. You don't know your priest. There's many things that you must begin to come to reality to for your full and total return to the Most High. And this is what Hosea, the 6th chapter, talking about. But watch the 3rd verse. Then shall we know. And see, the Almighty said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I shall reject thee. See, we stripped of knowledge. And it's knowledge that we must regain. Then shall we know if we follow on to know Yahweh, and everybody don't want to follow on to know Yahweh. As going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. So this is a scripture that you want to study and learn in these last days. Hallelujah. Now, the question also was asked about, is this going to happen in the third day as a result of what Yahweh did in Exodus, the 19th chapter, when he came down on Mount Sinai? And little do people know, not only did he come down on Mount Sinai, it was the third month. It was the third day of the week, but it was the second day of the month. But also, that's when he built this temple. On the third day of the week, but it was the second day of the month. This same time that the flood waters came down on Noah. This is when Yahweh gave his command. Same time he built this temple. Same time Esther was raised up in the book of Esther. These are things that people have to learn, but they won't know because they're following things that Yahweh never told us to follow. Yahweh never told us to follow a moon. And so because they're following the moon, they can't teach you the things that I'm teaching you. But if they knew the months of Yahweh, then they would know. Because every month, it lets you know, and every day, it lets you know, and every year, it lets you know the ways of Yahweh. So will this take place in the third month? Well, it might, but it could be the third day. It could be the third year, but make no mistake about it. It will happen in the third as Yahweh stated. Next question.
Shalom. Praise God. Praise God. This next question, I believe you answered already, but this person wanted to know the connection between Genesis 2nd chapter 7 verse and Ezekiel 37 and the 5th verse.
Let's look at Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 7th verse. And I know what that's speaking of. That's speaking of man. And when man was made, and man was made from the dust of the earth. But we read it because everybody might not know it. So they said Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 7th verse, correct? All right, let's read that first. We just won't assume nothing. The scripture says, wisdom is the principal thing. But with all thy getting, get understanding. And you won't get that understanding unless you read over and over again the various things in the scriptures. It says in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter, and Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right? Now that we consider that, then they asked us to read Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, which verse? The 5th verse. So let us go there. Ezekiel 37, the 5th verse. Thus is Yahweh unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And The relationship is the fact that Yahweh is breathing breath. He's causing breath to enter into them. The first time in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, this was just some clay, just some dust, just some dirt, who was never alive, and Yahweh breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, the 5th verse, it appears to me that this person is alive. And this is, but Yahweh still breathing into him to live. Because as I stated before, there's more than just one type of life. One type of life, you had to, you're dead and you need life. Another type of life, you're living, but you still might be dead. Dead to who you are, dead to wisdom, dead to knowing things. Dead to the tree of life, dead to salvation. Dead to wisdom and understanding. And but this breath in Ezekiel 37, in my estimation, is giving them that type of life so that they will know who they are, so they can live in his sight, as we just talked about. Any other questions?
Shalom, praise Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Next question is, who was Cain and Abel married to in the other generations, to who was their wives?
All right, very good question. Who was Cain and Abel married to? Well, Abel wasn't married to nobody because he was murdered. And Cain did have wives. And let me show you who Cain's wives was. If you go back to the book of Genesis. And you'll read about Cain's wives in the book, just so you can see this, in Genesis, the 4th chapter. And this is what it says. After Cain was banished from the Most High, the 16th verse says this, and Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh, dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built the city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And there's more than one Enoch in the scriptures. And unto Enoch was born Arad, and Arad begot Mahuyael, and Mahuyael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech, and there's more than one Lamech also. Where did Cain get this wife from? We didn't hear about no daughters being born to Adam and Hawa or Eve. Well, you just didn't read it. But it's in Genesis, the 5th chapter. Watch what it says. And then you'll know where he got his wife. Genesis, the 5th chapter, the very first verse. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them, and called their name Adam, or Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, and after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So Adam didn't just have sons, and all his sons is not even mentioned. You read about Seth, but you're not reading about all the various sons that Adam had. And you're not reading about none of his daughters, but he had daughters and sons. And where did his sons get their wives? Well, from Adam's daughters. That's where they got their wives from. Because he didn't just have sons, he had daughters also. This is how the world began to be populated. And there should not be nothing difficult to understand that Adam's sons married Adam's daughters. Let me show you something in this same Genesis. And you'll find this in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 20th chapter. Watch what this says. Starting at the 9th verse, Genesis 29. And think about the question you asked me about, where did Cain get his wife from? Well, he got his wife from his father. It was his sister. Watch what this says in Genesis 29. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee? Thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that are not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Now watch what this says in the 12th verse. And yet indeed she is my sister. This is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when Elohim caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And why? Because he was her brother. They had the same daddy. Now it is true, Cain had the same daddy and the same mama. But he got his wife from his own family. It was his sister. Yes.
Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Next question. Genesis 12, verse 18. Who told Pharaoh that Sarah was the wife of Abram?
Genesis 12. What verse? Genesis 12 and what? This is what it says in Genesis 12 and 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? And how did Pharaoh know? Well, because of Yahweh. And what did Yahweh do to Pharaoh that let Pharaoh know what was happening? Yahweh said he will do nothing but what he first revealed to his servants the prophets. Look what Yahweh did in the 17th verse. And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai Abram's wife. In other words, Yahweh did this, and Pharaoh knew it. He knew this plague came from Yahweh. He knew this. Now, you might ask yourself, well, how did he know this? Well, let me show you how he knew it. Because this didn't just happen to Pharaoh. Show you this in the book. Go back to Genesis 20. I want you to see this. And I'm saying Yahweh revealed this to Pharaoh. It's just certain things you're not reading in every scripture. In Genesis, the 20th chapter, even though it says Yahweh came to Abimelech in a dream, in the 17th verse. So Abraham prayed, Genesis 20 and 17. And you notice it was Genesis 12 and 17 when we read about what happened to Pharaoh. So Abraham prayed unto Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bear children. For Yahweh had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because Sarah, Abraham's wife. This is what Yahweh did. And so Abimelech knew this thing was because of her. But likewise, Pharaoh, if you go back to Genesis 12, he knew the same exact thing. That's why it just didn't go into the details that went into Genesis 20. But it's letting you know how Pharaoh knew this. Everything was fine. Then all of a sudden, in the 15th verse, look what happens. The princess also of Pharaoh saw her, commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep, oxen, asses, men servants, maid servants, and she ass and camels. And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh and himself with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Like it said in with Abimelech in Genesis 20. And Pharaoh called on Abraham and said that he knew why this thing went down. He knew what was going on. What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why says that she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now, therefore, behold, take thy wife. Take her and go thy way. Yeah, he knew this because of Yahweh. That's how he knew. He knew he plagued him. He knew why this was went down. Just Yahweh revealed that to him, just like he did Abimelech. Yes, if you're listening by the way of Blog Talk, all you got to do is hit the number 1 on your phone and we can come to you. Very good questions. If there's any other questions, we got a few more minutes and we can answer all your questions. In the scriptures, all right, we do have another question.
Question is, based on Esther, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse, is this a particular scripture that detail that our people kept the law in the land?
Yes, it is, and I don't even have to read it, but I am for our listening audience. But yes, the answer is yes. It proves beyond a shadow of doubt that our people who are talking about we can't keep the law, we can't keep the commandments, we can't keep Yahweh's Sabbaths outside of our land is a total lie. They're lying to you, and they do not know the word of Yahweh. Let's go to the book of Esther, just to see the third chapter, the 8th verse, as the caller is pointing out. And also these scriptures will prove that even in the land of your enemies, you don't have to be defiled. What do you think Daniel did in captivity? Watch what it says in the book of Esther, the 3rd chapter, the very 8th verse. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Their laws are diverse from all people. In other words, we got a bunch of people in this land, but these one people who are called Yehudanites, these people, their laws are different from all people. How are these laws different than all people? Because they don't just eat anything. And then they talking about things have to be killed a certain way. And then things have to be kosher. And they talking about they only can eat certain type of fish. Who goes into detail about a certain type of fish they can eat? All fish that has scales and fins. Who do that? What religious people do that? And they won't eat no other kind of fish. And they won't eat no other kind of sea creature except for that type. Going around talking about the only type of beast they can eat is one that's cloven-footed and split the hoof and chew other cud. What? That don't even make sense to me. What do it mean, chew the other cud? Split the hoof and cloven-footed. What kind of people are these? Going around talking about the 7 day is the Sabbath day, so they can't do no work, and they got the rest. These people are different than all people. I've never seen a people like this. Talking about the only clothes that they can wear, it's got to be 100%. And it can't be mingled. And a man can't wear what pertaining to a woman. And a woman can't wear what pertaining to a man. What kind of people are these? And talking about they covenant keeping. And they got to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, they holy people. They people are the Most High. These laws came from heaven, not from man. And watch what it says. Their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king prophet to suffer them, to allow them to do this thing. Man, destroy these people, man. They don't even keep your laws, and their laws that they keeping is different than yours. And here it is. We got people talking about vote. In other words, they want us to try to keep some state laws and some federal laws that they know is a total contradiction of Yahweh's law. Soon as you begin to vote for somebody on a Democratic ticket, they going to vote to have gay rights. They going to vote to have laws that will protect somebody, a man, transgender, somebody who will, a man that will willingly put on women clothing, dress up, and go to work. And a woman that willingly put on man's clothes, dress up, and go to work. This is why one little guy in the military, as soon as he took off his uniform, he put on women's clothes, and they didn't like it, and they banned him. They can't do that now because the laws protect them. Who write the laws? these politicians, these wicked politicians. This is a total contradiction of Yahweh's laws. Total contradiction. But you will vote for these people, put them in power, and then after you put them in power, you have to deal with these things. These same people will give a woman a right to murder her baby, her unborn baby. They will give them that right. Say, it's your body, you do what you want. What you mean it's her body? Yahweh, that's Yahweh made that thing, not her. She don't have the power to make babies and do away babies. Only Yahweh got that power. It's wickedness to do such a thing. But we will give men the power to make laws to do these things. And that's a great sin. Yes, our laws are diverse from all people. And this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're not to keep the king's laws, Yahweh laws. Any other questions?
Praise Yah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Hosea, the 6th chapter, 2nd verse, are the numbers 2 and 3 used because they equal to 5? And Yah will increase our knowledge of him and ourselves, as you mentioned tonight. Question number 2. Does the latter and former reign in verse 3 of Hosea 6 refers to David and how he said one must be in 2nd chapter Samuel, the 23rd chapter, verse 3 and 4.
All right, well, that's a lot of chapters, but I don't know if the axe is the... Let's go back to Hosea 6. And one of the questions is it using in Hosea 6, the 2nd verse and the 3rd verse, is it dealing with that? I know the question. You don't have to say it no more. The 2nd and 3rd verse, because Yahweh will increase our knowledge, since 2 and 3 equal 5. And that's a great possibility. However, after the 2nd day, he's going to revive us. And why? Because the 2nd represents Yahweh's name. But verse 3 is referring to what will happen in the 3rd day. He will raise us up that we might live in his sight. If you study the 3rd in the scriptures, and I tell people to do this, they want, when they don't have nothing else to get us on, they say, well, they just deal with numerology. They just dealing with numerology. Well, if I'm dealing with numerology, all you have to do is look up the 3rd in your concordance. Look up the 4th in your concordance. Look up the 5th. Everywhere it talks about the 5th in the scriptures. Look at the 2nd. Everywhere it talks about the 2nd in the scriptures. And if you do that, you will know that everything I'm telling you is the truth. You just never studied it. So when you see various days and dates in the scriptures, they don't mean nothing to you. But they mean everything to me because I studied them. And I know what they mean. And I know what's happening with them. And Yahweh plainly tells us what he will do in the 2nd as well as the 3rd. But when it says, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. This could be a reference to David, but literally, this latter rain, when you look up this latter and former rain, one of the Hebrew words that it goes to is moreh, which means teacher. So A lot of people believe that it's literally talking about rain coming down, but no. He's talking about a certain teacher that would teach you certain things to increase your knowledge of him. And how and what type of knowledge is that? It's called the knowledge of the holy. And what is the knowledge of the holy according to the scriptures? Is understanding. Let me just show you that real quick. You read this, I think is in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter, if I'm not mistaken, but let me see. Either the 8th or the 9th chapter. Let's see. And this is something that you yeah, Proverbs, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse, and this is what it says, Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of holy is understanding. And this is what you want to have, the knowledge of the holy. Because once you have the knowledge of the holy, then you will have understanding. And if you look up the latter rain, just look up the latter rain and the former rain, and you'll see exactly what I mean. It's talking about a certain type of teacher. All right. Any other questions? How much time we have? 30 seconds. We have about 30 seconds left. For the rest of the week now, we're going to answer your questions. So you can bring all your questions that you have, and we're going to answer them. If Yahweh give us the answers to your questions. So I won't be arrogant, prideful, and act like I know I have all the answers. I don't have no answers. Yahweh have the answers. And we go right to his book to find the answers. The Creator says, seek ye at the book of Yah and read. And none shall want her mate. None shall fail. For Yahweh has gathered what Yahweh have commanded in Yahweh's spirit. Has gathered these books. So this is what we seek, and these are the answers that we will bring to you. Jamal, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Yah, do I lift up my soul? And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim. Who believes everything and to every word spoken. You can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.